Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there, thanks so much for joining me on this edition of The Chalene Show. This is a really special edition. It's something I've never shared with you before, a story I've never shared with you before, and a technique I've never shared before on one of my podcasts. It's something that we teach live at the Smart Success live event that we have each year, and so many people were talking about it in like social media, which I really appreciate, on live streaming, that I thought, okay, I should probably share this technique. And I know this is going to help you in more than just your romantic or very personal relationships. This tool can help you just about in any situation where you want to pinch someone's head off. So here goes. Off to the show.
Welcome to The Chalene Show. Chalene is a New York Times bestselling author, celebrity fitness trainer, and obsessed with helping you live your dream life.
Today, I'm going to share with you a technique that is incredibly useful to, this is the trippiest thing ever, you guys. It immediately diffuses anger. It's crazy how awesome this works. And I want you to try it, and we're going to do it together. And so the first thing I want you to do is to think about somebody who you'd like to pinch their head off. There's just no other way to put it. That's the nice way to put it, is you would like to pinch their head off. Can you conjure up somebody? Okay, so I'm going to ask you to come up with two different people. I need you to pull up somebody in your head who you're not romantically involved with, somebody you work with, someone you kind of have to continue a relationship with, and someone you kind of care about and you have a relationship with. So I don't want you to pull up the person who cut you off at the supermarket when you're trying to park. I don't want you to pull up someone that you're never going to see again. In your head right now, I want you to pull up somebody who, at the moment, whether it's a friend or a coworker or a person who you have to do work with, maybe it's a consultant, maybe it is your boss, maybe it is the person in the cubicle next to you, maybe it is your son's teacher, but it's somebody you have a pretty close relationship with and you kind of need this relationship to continue. And let me just say, life would be so much easier if you could get along in this moment, even though there are times you would really like to pinch their head off and they don't get it. And you don't feel like they're ever probably going to get it. And it's super frustrating. And you're like, if they just were realistic about this, if they just had a clue, if they just had like any sense about them, they'd be fine, right? That person. And you know what I'm talking about, because we all feel that way when we're really mad, don't we? When we're really mad at someone, it's really difficult to see how they are reasonable or intelligent. We just think, this person has no clue. And I don't know if I can help them, but I have to get along with them. I want you to hold that person in your mind right now. Okay. Now remember, it's got to be somebody that you have to deal with on a regular basis. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine for a moment that you are standing in their shoes with their experiences, with their history, with their limited knowledge of what's going on perhaps, you're standing in their insecurities. You're standing in their vulnerabilities, okay? I want you to stand in their shoes for a second. And I want you to imagine all of the very annoying things about you. Now, this is hard. It's really hard to do. You know why? Because we feel righteous. So I want to give you my first example. My first example is, and Kevin knows that I share this example because I shared it publicly at Smart Success this year in front of 1,400 people. But Kevin is our business partner. Brett and I operate a business where we at Team Johnson help to serve people who are building an online business. We help people live their fullest life. And most specifically, we help people learn how to work less and earn more. And we have a business partner who helps us with strategy and helps us in mapping out the course for our customers. And he helps us with so many things. It's, you know, he's a true partner. But as with all partners, even a marital partner, because you don't do exactly the same things, like you in your relationships, whether it's a best friend or a marriage partner, you do different things. And we almost always assume what we do is far more valuable. It's just the way things work. It's our own inflated way of viewing ourselves. And especially this is true when we get mad. When we get angry, it's really easy to go, well, I do this, 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 and this. What do they do? And like nothing comes to mind, right? Well, this is especially true even when there are business partnerships, and especially so in business partnerships. And I believe that is because friends do best when like friends match up with like friends. Partners do best when opposites attract. And I mean partners in business and partners in marriage. So if you have a business partner and you're very different, you don't see eye to eye, you have on most things, or all things, I should say. Most things you should see eye to eye, but there are a lot of things you don't see eye to eye and you have opposite strengths. That makes for a very, very strong business relationship. But there isn't that marriage certificate to keep you together. There isn't that afterglow of sex that keeps you bonded and making up. There is a relationship there that's very much like a marriage sometimes, but it's not. It doesn't have that same strength. There, you don't take an oath before God to stay with your business partner. It works out well, right? So Kevin, who's our business partner, does nothing I do, and I do nothing that he does. So from time to time, I will get seethingly mad at him. And it's usually when I'm in the thick of things and I'll stumble upon something where I'm like, how did this not get done? I can't believe this. And then I'll start like ranting and raving in my bedroom and very angry, and not very angry, angry for me anyways, like just kind of complaining out loud and coming up with this and then this and then this. And then it's we should have a meeting. We need a meeting. This is BS. We need a meeting, right? And about, I don't know, probably a year and a half ago, whenever I would do this, Brett would say, like maybe 10 minutes later, I'd be like, he'd say, well, you know, do you want to schedule a meeting with Kevin to talk about that? I'm like, no, I'm good. And he'd be like, okay, Sybil. You know, I'd be like, no, seriously. No, I gave it some thought. It's all good. And he's like, what? How do you, who are you? Why do you flip-flop so fast? And I didn't tell Brett this technique that I've been using, but I've been using the same technique with Kevin or anyone that I work with, or even my best friends, you know, because your closest relationships are going to go through ups and downs. Like a true friendship is going to go through periods of time where you want to snap each other's heads off. And you're like, I don't even know who you are right now. And I can't even believe this. And I want to kill you. And can you even believe this? I thought I knew you. You know, a good relationship, a good friend relationship is going to go through that. And what makes a good relationship great is seeing all the value in that other person that makes it worth working through, right? That's what makes a beautiful relationship. That's what makes for a beautiful marriage. And I think too many people quit on their relationships, their important relationships. They quit on their friendships, the important friendships. They quit on their marriages, and they quit on their business relationships because they feel like discord must mean this relationship is bad, and it is not. Always. Now, do I think you should always stay with a friend who, you know, you've grown apart? No, but I'm talking about a person who truly, at their core, you love everything about them. And they're a good, good person. And you admire their ethics and their morals, and they lift you up, and they're not jealous of you. They love you, and they truly are the person who would just cry in happiness when something good happened for you. We're talking about these people. We're not talking about the people who it's like, you know, we have been moving far apart for many years, and we're not on the same path, and this probably isn't good for us. But I'm talking about the people who truly, you know, they're good, and it's worth staying at it. And it's worth getting out of a place where you feel righteous. Because when we're mad at someone, it's almost impossible. You know this to be true, especially in your romantic relationships. When you're mad at someone, you're like, I can't remember when we had a good day. I can't think of one nice thing he's ever done. Come to think of it, I don't think we've ever had a good year together, right? Like that, your head goes from like, you know, like it's all good to it's always been bad. Our brains just do that. Do you do this? Am I the only one? No, you do it too. Okay, good. Awesome. And when we do that, it allows us to protect ourselves to stay in a place of righteousness, where in righteousness, we believe that we make better decisions, that we are superior to this other person. That's what being righteous is. It is when you feel superior to the other person. Have I had moments in my life? Have I had moments in the last month when I've felt righteous? Yes, because I'm a human and I sin and I have faults. And there's been many times in the last month where I thought, in my head, I'm like, well, clearly I am smarter. Clearly I am kinder. Clearly I have better blah, blah, blah. Clearly I wouldn't do that. And the problem with feeling righteous is it doesn't allow you to move forward. It just keeps a nice brick wall built carefully around you, and there's no way to repair any relationship when one of you is feeling righteous. And I know this to be true because I see comments, and I'm just going to call you guys out right now, because some of you in your comments right now, I'm talking to you so you can jump off my scope or my Facebook if I'm about to piss you off, but I'm going to tell you some of your comments right now, I'm reading them, and they're totally righteous. Like, you are acting like you're holier than thou. Sorry, I'm reading your comments and I'm reading you saying, but what if your husband is a jerk and doesn't listen to you and is mean and cruel and won't jump off then? Because I won't be able to help you, because you're in that place where you are better than they are. And I can't help you. And you can't help yourself if you believe you are better than they are. Truth moment. Sorry. But it's the truth, and it drives me crazy, because if it's truly a person who you've loved, and I know at the moment when you want to pinch their head off, it's hard to remember those days because you have so much built up resentment and anger, and it can turn very, very bitter. But what I want to teach you today is a technique that will help you immediately snap yourself out of a place where you feel righteous. So let me go back to the example I started with, which is Kevin. Hi, Kevin. Love ya. So when I have these moments with Kevin, what I started doing was opening up a document on my phone, a note. So this is what I want you to do too, okay? So don't do it right now, but shortly. If you're sitting down and you have a piece of paper that you could write on, I want you to do that, okay? Because here's what I would do with Kevin. I could think of, trust me, a million and one things that he does not do. Doesn't do it the way I want him to, and all the things that I do, and all the things that, and how unfair this relationship is, and how many people would love to be a partner with me, and, you know, righteous, I am a superior. I can make that list, but that list doesn't help me, and it doesn't help me salvage a really important relationship. So here's what I do. I sit down and I pretend I am Kevin. And I think to myself, okay, being in Kevin's shoes, having Kevin's knowledge of the situation, having his experiences, having his personality, having his background, having all of the circumstances that he has and is in and has to deal with me. And if he were making a rant right now about me, what could, as uncomfortable as it is for me to think about this, what could his list look like? Like, what would his most awful, even if it's untrue, but what could his most awful list look like? And I start coming up with things like, she talks too fast. She comes up with ideas in the middle of the night. She texts me at 4 a.m. She texts me at 11 p.m. She sends me emails on the weekend when I'm trying to be with my family. She changes all of our plans last minute. I'm the expert at this, but yet she still argues with me and battles me and challenges me on different things that I know in internet marketing are proven. And she doesn't thank me enough. And she doesn't appreciate me enough. And she is difficult because she's constantly changing her mind, and she is bossy, and she is often asking my opinion and then tell me why she's not going to take it. And she is, and the list can go on. And she throws me curveballs at the last minute and it makes me look bad. And she has, you know, seasons where I don't hear from her for like 2 weeks. And then suddenly I hear from her 50 times in a day. Like I can make this huge list, right? And I know that everything he can say about me, I can say, but I sent you that email, but I wasn't expecting you to read it till Monday. But I can't help it that I have creative ideas last minute. You know, like, you have to make the list as if you don't know the other side. You have to make the list from their perspective, like really what they could say. And it's kind of painful. And it does a lot of things. It, like, I call it the snap out of it exercise. And you, it helps you to snap out of it so that you don't pinch someone's head off. And it's really helpful because the second you start making the list about you from their shoes, it's crazy how your anger just goes. It totally diffuses and you just start looking around. You're like, I'm super annoying, aren't I? Right? It completely diffuses it and you can't feel righteous and finish this exercise unless you're really truly hanging on to that. This is about to get good. I'm about to share a story I've never shared before, except at Smart Success. Now, otherwise, hang on to your horses. Here we go. Okay, because now I want you to shift for a second from somebody who is not, you know, we talked about someone who you're not romantically involved with first, right? Like a business partner, a good friend. This exercise is not helpful, by the way, and I only want you to do it if the person who came to mind is someone who really, truly, honestly is not good for you. I mean, that's the truth. There are some times, and just because someone gave birth to you doesn't necessarily mean they're good for you, right? But there are friends and there are business associates and there are lots of other people in our lives who are good for us. We're just having a rough time with them. But I'm not talking about people who aren't good for you. Do you know what I mean? And I think you do. If this person has never lifted you up, if this person has never been kind or caring or your biggest supporter or your biggest fan, we're not talking about that person. We are talking about people who are healthy for you, typically. But in this moment, you want to pinch their heads off. That's who we're talking about, right? Now let's talk about someone who you are romantically involved with. So your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife, your partner. Brett and I tomorrow celebrate 21 years of marriage. 21 years. We've been together for 26 years. I know, that's a long time. So you can imagine, we've had some days where we would like to pinch each other's heads off. And I remember when we first got married, I had a bridal shower, and they did this game where they passed around a piece of paper and everyone wrote a piece of marital advice on it. And all the young women in the room wrote like really sweet things. He's going to be your best friend. This is the greatest day of your life. Don't forget to kiss each other before you go to bed, right? Like, you know, sweet, silly things. But the women there who'd been married a long time, I remember not enjoying that bridal shower because some of the advice that I got. There were several women there that said, your marriage will go through really hard times and you have to stay together. And I didn't like hearing that because I was like, that's weird. Those women have been married a really long time. And I know those women, they have good relationships. Why would they say that? Well, their marriages won't be like mine because I'm not going to go through hard times. I mean, I don't want to go through hard times. I don't want to do that. But I knew that I would. I'm just such an optimist that I didn't want to think about that. I didn't want to think about hard times. And when you're, you know, as fortunate as both Brett and I are to have parents who are still married, you know, my parents have been married like close to 50 years. His parents close to 50 years. And we've compared notes. And I recall my parents fighting, not like you know, screaming, throwing things, but having fights oftentimes behind closed doors. So we didn't hear what they were fighting about, but we knew that they were fighting, arguing, I will say. And my dad always made a point of coming out after the argument. And usually, you know, my mom's eyes would be red. And she cries at like a, you know, coffee commercial. So that wasn't a weird thing. But her eyes would be red from crying, and they'd have Kleenex, and he'd have his arm around her, and they'd be all lovey. And my dad would say, you know, we were arguing, and that's what couples do. And we were arguing, and we've worked it out. And that's what we do, you know. And I said, I'm sorry to your mother, and we said, we're sorry to each other. And this is what couples do. You know, you work it out, and you stay together, and you say you're sorry. And then he would always compliment my mom. He would always say, and your mother is the great, and he would always just lift her up. He's like, your mother is so strong and is so amazing. And he would just like, it was amazing, right? So I knew growing up that strong relationships, whether it's friends or married couples, that they argue and they work it out, right? But I had lots of friends whose parents were divorced. And they didn't see, the only time they saw arguing, it was immediately followed by a divorce. And so this is just speculation. I don't know if this is true. This is just my own personal experience, right? I'm not a therapist. I'm not a psychologist. It's just the way I've developed and see the world through my own experiences, right? And so I had lots of friends who they would get in a relationship with a guy when they were young, you know, newly married, and they would argue, and then they would divorce. And I wondered to myself, I wonder if they know that's normal and you can work it out sometimes. Not always. I don't think everybody marries the right person the first time. But there are people who know that to disagree and to see things from the other person's perspective is going to be better for your relationship. If it's a relationship worth salvaging because you truly know what's possible and where you've been and that this is truly a good person, then it's worth trying to put yourself in their shoes and snap out of it. And we had to do that a lot. We've had to do it a lot. Brett at Smart Success shared a story that we've never shared before. And I want to share this example with you because I hope that it is powerful for you and that you understand how this can be applied in so many of your personal relationships. You've probably heard me tell the story before about how when in our first business, Powder Blue Productions, and I was so crazed and so driven to be the breadwinner and to make it successful. And I crushed myself and I killed myself. And you're hearing me say myself. I mean, I totally did it to myself. I wouldn't accept help. I wanted all the credit. I wanted all the kudos. I wanted to save the day. I wanted to put on the cape and I wanted people to notice I'd put on the cape, you know? And that's why I did everything. That and I was controlling and I didn't know much about business. I didn't know that I couldn't go any further if it was just me, you know? And that's what I did. And it was difficult and challenging for Brett and I because he was destined to be an NFL quarterback. And now here he was, a pretty young dad with plans that had kind of changed, which meant his identity changed too. Which also meant that he lost that thing, that competitive thing that, you know, when you're the quarterback and you save the day, right? When you're the quarterback, you save the day. And now here he is supporting in some capacity a business that he doesn't know a lot about, right? And doing an amazing job and doing all the things that I couldn't do and didn't know how to do. But I was still the one that most people saw with the cape on, if that makes sense. You know, and he lost that suddenly that thing, you know, that gave him a high, winning the game, the score. And he didn't know how to communicate that. And he didn't know how to express it to me. And there's a lot of other reasons why all of this happened, most of which really revolved around us not communicating with each other. But Brett, as he's recently shared, got into a a bad habit that quickly turned into an addiction. And that was gambling. And he talked about this at Smart Success. And everyone was like, oh, was it on sports? It was actually horses. And he didn't have to go to Vegas to do it. He could just do it over the phone. And it went on for years and years. And many years of our marriage. And I didn't know. Because I didn't ever look at our finances. It's the truth. I just said, that's his thing. It's what he's good at. And I would just pay attention to his mood, you know? And when he was in a bad mood, I figured it was because we weren't doing well financially, which meant I wasn't a good person, right? And so then I would work harder and longer, and I'd feel shitty about myself, you know? I'd be like, God, why can't I make him happy? Why can't I make this thing, why can't I make more money? I should probably do more. I'm not productive enough. I'm not organized enough. You know, if I was just more organized, I waste so much time and I would beat myself up about it. And then we'd have a hit and a pop, if you will, and we'd be making money again. And again, it didn't really kind of add up, but I never looked, really, because I trusted him. I trust everybody because I can't lie. I can't lie. It's one thing people say about me. I can't lie. Mainly because I have a really bad memory. So if I were to lie, I'd get caught in like 2 seconds because I would forget the lie, right? So I'm like, here's the truth. And there are enough things for me to go, something's not right. Something is not right. And I don't like feeling that way, but I knew something wasn't right. And so I did my research. And when I feel weak, I get quiet and I go into research mode, no matter what it is. I'm always like, okay, knowledge is power, knowledge is power, knowledge is power. And so I was probably quiet for about a week. And I went into research mode. And it was just a couple days later that I knew what was going on. I knew. But I didn't say anything yet. I researched. And I started looking into what this was. I didn't even know that gambling could be an addiction. I had no idea. So I did as much research as I could. And I found different ways someone could get treatment. And I found out as much as I could about my options. And I looked at all of our financials to see where we really were. And we were $500,000 in debt. So that didn't really matter. Like the money was like, that did not matter. That wasn't the hardest part. The hardest part was realizing that it had been going on for years and years and years, you know? And then you go, so when you said this, that wasn't true? And when this happened, that didn't really and I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but you sit there and you go, is this real life? Is this real life? What's real? what do I really know? What do I know? What do I know? And that's a good question to ask yourself, because the only thing you have to know is who you are and what you will do. Kids were young. The kids were young. But I knew what I would do. And I knew who I was. And I also knew that I loved him so much. And I knew enough about what I'd researched before I even confronted him to know that it wasn't me and it wasn't personal. And it was an addiction, and that I loved him. And I knew what I was going to need in order to stay. And I knew what I would do if he couldn't do that. And that's where you can find strength. Just know who you are and what you will do if. And sometimes the if, you don't know until you're in it. But Brett was relieved. He was so, so relieved. And if you've ever loved someone with a secret, even a secret that's painful, you know what I'm talking about, when they truly have remorse and they can finally let go of that secret. And Brett was, you could just see, like he was so relieved to have that secret. It was a full-time job, you know, to have a secret like that's like almost having another life, and it's a full-time job, and it's exhausting. And it's why I always tell all of you to talk to somebody, because you are as sick as your secrets. And I don't mean that you're a sick person, but I mean that your secrets make you sick inside. And you don't deserve to feel that way, even if you think you do. Because sometimes people keep secrets so because feeling sick about themselves is what, I know it sounds strange, but it's what they're comfortable with. Even if it's uncomfortable. Like it's more comfortable to be uncomfortable, right? So that was a tough time for us. That was a tough time, because as much as I was committed to helping us get through it, I didn't show that. You know, I was pretty angry, to say the least. We paid everybody back. Yeah, we paid everybody back. But there were times when I felt so righteous. You know, you just, it's a really easy way to protect yourself to say, I can't believe you would do this to me. Do you realize what I am? And do you, you know, like that was really, I felt like I had the grounds to do that. You know, I felt like I was entitled to say and feel those things. But we got into counseling like the next day. And we've done counseling all of our marriage, but this was different. And right away, I realized that it would do us no good. But we knew that we had to get into counseling. And I knew there was a lot of things that I wouldn't be able to do because it wouldn't be helpful. And I really, really wanted to kill him. I was so angry, and I was so mad, and I was so hurt, and I was all of these things. But I knew it wasn't helpful, and that we weren't going to get any better if I didn't figure out my own part. And there's always two. And I don't take blame, but I do take responsibility for things that I had to fix in myself. And so this is when I started doing this. I'm going to read you what I wrote. Okay. So this is what I did. This is what I started doing when I wanted to pinch my husband's head off. Okay. I used this so often, you can't imagine, because I needed to help myself I need to help myself. And you're not, it is the most painful thing to walk around with anger and disgust and rage. It's not fun for you. It's not fun for anyone. And I knew I needed to help myself. And the only way I was going to be able to help myself was to diffuse that. So I started creating, this is going to be so crazy for you guys, but I'm going to read for you a list that I started making about myself, because it was the only way, it was the only way I could get through the day without feeling righteous. So here's the list in that moment that I made about myself and what it must be like to be married to me. You ready for it? Here we go. Here's my list. Here's what I said. This is my snap out of it exercise. I said, I interrupt and I correct you. I'm not very thoughtful. Actually, I said about him because I didn't give this to him. I'm not very thoughtful or very good in the kitchen. I neglect to ask him how his day was, and I talk about mine. I am self-absorbed and self-centered sometimes. I'm forgetful. I lose everything. I leave a mess every time I leave a room or the kitchen. I spend money without running it by him. I use words and language that make him and others believe that it's my business and my doing. I give him tasks that are beneath his true talent and abilities and gifts. I correct things that he's tried his best to do. I constantly ask the same questions over and over and over because I forget the answer. I can't remember dates or details. I redo things he's just done to be kind, or I take things back that he's done that I've asked him to do, and then I do it myself and act like a martyr. I get angry when he can't communicate his feelings with me. I expect him to read my mind and know where I'm going with an idea or a direction rather than just explaining it, and then I get frustrated. I hound him to do things that are not in his nature. I expect him to adopt my habits and my way. I inconvenience him and I take him for granted because of his caretaking nature. I invest countless hours and emotion and our money in trying to help and fix broken people who don't want to be fixed. I have no idea what's in our bank accounts. I have little projects everywhere, every corner of the house. I teach too many classes. I stay up too late. I wake up too early. I take too long to get ready. I make him late to things, even though he hates to be late. I'm constantly obsessed and I'm distracted by new things. I neglect time and emotional connections because I'm obsessed with work. I collect animals like a zookeeper. I have loud birds and he hates birds. When I don't get time in for a workout, I'm not nice. I'm never content with our current level of achievement. I'm always setting sights on our next milestone before we've even hit this one. I set my sights on the next big thing just as he thinks we're about to take a rest. I add projects upon projects and businesses upon businesses, and I never say no. This is a really, really hard thing to write. I had to write this letter because I didn't feel like I loved him. I did love myself. I did think I was amazing. The list of all the ways I'm amazing was 1,000 times longer than this, but that doesn't help me, and it doesn't help you. It doesn't help you to think of all the amazing things about you. It doesn't help you. I did love myself, but that doesn't help you or me to make that list. I needed to make the list of the things that I had to improve. I had to make the list of things of what it must be like, the annoying things about myself, or I wasn't going to move forward. Do you understand? Does that help? Now remember, this is right after this devastating news that we had received, that I had uncovered, right? And in my attempts to feel more love towards him, here's the list of things I forced myself to make in that moment. So before I go any further, this is what I want you to do. I want you to think about your significant other right now. And I want you to make that list about yourself, because you can pull it out. Literally, I pulled this list out almost every day. Every day when I wanted to take the high road and think I was better than and to be angry and to be bitter, I would take this list out and I would read those things about myself that I knew to be true. I knew they were true. Yes, I know there was amazing things too, but I also knew these things. You know, and especially when we're in a relationship, we think we are so fantastic, right? but it doesn't help. Here's the list that I made about my husband in the moment when I really, truly could have made a list with the negative things that was a book. And so this is what I want you to do. I want you to make a list about your significant other of all of the things that you take for granted and all of the things that you love. You. Okay, here's what I said about my husband, the husband who I wanted to kill. He cooks for our family. He remembers what I'm doing every day, and he asks me how my day was. He thinks of what I might need, and he tries to get it for me. He's loving, and he's a caring father. He supports every new idea that I have, every adventure, and he always lets me have the final say. He makes me feel like I'm cool. He makes me feel like I'm smart. He brags about me. He's proud of me. He doesn't get mad when I ask him for his opinion, and then I don't take it. He's fiercely protective of me and how he thinks people take advantage of me and my helping nature. He lets me make all the decisions about our house and our decor. He loves me even though I interrupt him and I take over all conversations. He spoils me with gifts. He leaves me love notes. He's wonderful with my parents. He remembers everything about everyone. He makes it possible for me to live my purpose, even though his often takes a back seat. He isn't a drinker. He doesn't do drugs. He doesn't go out with the guys. He tells me every day I look beautiful. He will make every sacrifice possible to make sure I'm not inconvenienced. He's clean and organized and thoughtful, and he's an amazing cook, and he's my biggest fan, and he lets me have my way even when he really shouldn't. He tolerates when people tug on me or say disrespectful things to him like, "So, what's it like to be married to Shalene?" Or, "So what do you do?" He shows me patience when I lose mine or I forget things. He lets me call the shots and never says, "I told you so," when things go bad. And that's as much as I could come up with at that time. But that's some pretty amazing stuff. And so I'd have to read those lists. I would read those two lists, and that would help me to feel calm, reasonable, fair, you know? And that's what you have to do. You need to make that list for your significant other, even if right now you're really happy with each other. Make that list, because a month from now, a week from now, 2 days from now, you're going to get in a big fight. And when you get in that big fight, it's really hard to remember any of these things. And it's so much more convenient to just have it saved on your phone. So what do? We did a lot of counseling and a lot of therapy. And I had to remove myself from a position of feeling righteous. And I had to remind myself of the commitment that I had made to him. And I had to look at this list and realize I love this guy. And he was sick and he needed help. And we had to slowly rebuild trust. And we had to do that one day at a time. And we had to do so in a way that meant we were going to get stronger and we were going to appreciate each other. And we weren't going to bring this up in every fight. It's one of the most damaging things that you can do is to continually bring up the past. And I knew that this man, from the moment it came out, from the moment I confronted him with it, I knew from that moment forward, this man was not his past. And I knew that we would be closer than we'd ever been in our entire lives. I knew that there was pain he had not talked to me about. I always knew there was something. I just couldn't put my finger on it. You know, I always knew there was something there, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And we did a ton of therapy, a little bit together, but mainly separately. And I don't know if there's therapists on here, but I really think the work that helped us the most was the work that we did separately, you know? And sometimes we would come together and just kind of like seal things up. But the work we did on ourselves individually really made such a difference. And in particular, doing EMDR therapy, But this list, the snap out of it exercise, was so, it was like the best tool that I had. It was like taking a pill that calmed me down. It was crazy. I don't know what I would have done without this list. Because it's really easy when you get mad to be so righteous. And it just turns into a cycle where you're just like, you owe me and I'm better than you and I can't believe. And, you know, you just, it just doesn't help. And I wanted us to get better. I wanted us to be where we were. So can I read you the list that I made? Oh, probably a year ago. Want me to read you the new list? And so for those of you who are wondering why you've never heard this part of the story before, it is because my husband still carried a lot, even though he knew I completely forgave him and we've just become so much stronger. And hard times are just, I know this is going to sound weird, but hard times are delicious because they make you so much stronger. It feels so good to come out on the other side of something like that, whether it's your spouse or a best friend. I mean, some of my best friends, like they are my best friends. And what makes the relationship so delicious is we've been through some really hard times, you know? One of the reasons why Brett was able to share the story for the first time just about 2 weeks ago is because Brett had never been to church and had not accepted Jesus as a savior. And literally, his whole life had never gone to church. And this summer, he got baptized. And there were many times where he was like, wow, it's not my forgiveness. I've been forgiven by God. And that was really, really powerful for him because I know he still really carried a lot of guilt. And every time I told the story about how, you know, we worked ourselves into the ground and all of that was true. Like even if the gambling thing hadn't happened, trust me, I am not saying that happened because of the gambling. It did not. Let me state clearly for the record, that was my addiction. He was dealing with an addiction. I was dealing with an addiction. My addiction was work and feeling the need to be valuable by making people money. So we had our own, and it was righteous for me to think that his was worse than mine. His had a number attached to it. Mine was just as detrimental. You know, think about it. It really was. Mine was just as detrimental. But I had to get to a certain place and for me to be able to realize that just because his had a number attached to it didn't make his addiction any better or any worse than mine. So, anyways, I want to share with you the list that I've, the updated list. I call this 2.0. I call this Brett, my husband, 2.0. And we celebrate 21 years of marriage tomorrow. Okay, here is my story for Brett. This is the add-on. You ready? I said, here's my list for Brett now. He is a man of God. He turns to his faith in times of need or self-doubt or anger or feeling empty. He listens to podcasts. That's crazy. He makes to-do lists. I can see who he is all the way in. I couldn't say that before. He's calm. Most of these things were not on my list before therapy, you guys. You understand? The list is so much longer now. He is calm. He's an amazing kisser. I've talked about this before. Like, I didn't think my husband was, I was like, he's not like the best kisser I've ever had. You know what I mean? And then he started being comfortable with who he is. And it changed a lot of things, including that. He doesn't worry about what his family or anyone else thinks. He does what's right by our family. He goes to therapy anytime he feels the urge before anything becomes a problem. He's the most aware father. He's so caring and concerned. He's an amazing role model to other husbands and other dads. He has unlimited patience with our kids. He takes care of people he doesn't know. He knows his purpose. He's a great speaker. He shares the spotlight with me, and I think he likes it. He's very rarely in a bad mood or irritable, even though sometimes he pretends to when he's the hangry chef. He's fun. He's funny. You guys, my husband wasn't funny. I was the funny one. Now he's the funny one. Like, he wasn't funny. It wasn't funny. You know why? Because you can't be funny when you're worried about a secret. When you have a secret inside of you, you can't be funny. He respects himself. He keeps me accountable. He's lighthearted and he's patient, except when it comes to technology. He respects himself. He's confident. He's confident. Like, before, it was like bravado. It was cocky, which isn't really confidence. Now he's confident. He's kinder and he's open-minded. No one wants me to succeed and no one believes in me and no one is a bigger fan of me than my husband. Nobody takes initiative in our business the way he does. He apologizes to me. He apologizes to other people. He tries to be better at everything. We talk about everything. He listens to my stories, and they're really long and really boring sometimes. Well, a lot of times. He makes me go to bed early. He makes sure that we have enough saved and that I know exactly what's in all of our bank accounts. And he makes sure that everything gets paid on time and everyone else gets paid on time and nothing is ever late and that we have zero debt. He handles all the paperwork, the taxes, the finances, but he makes sure that I know where everything is at any time. And he puts up with all of my annoying and probably seemingly suspicious questions. And he doesn't question why I ask the same things over and over and over again, because he knows it's not about not trusting him. It's about me. It's about me needing to know I'm in the know. It's about me needing to feel safe. And he understands that. And he doesn't take it personal. He forgives himself quickly. He can now joke about himself. He's happy. He's present. Oh, he's physically affectionate with both of our kids. He gives both of our kids amazing confidence, and he celebrates all of their uniqueness. He lets them be who they are. He lets me have my opinion, but now he tells me his, and when he doesn't agree with me, and he makes me feel beautiful. He doesn't just say, I am beautiful. He says things that make me feel beautiful. So that's my snap out of it exercise. And this went a little bit longer than I expected. I want this to be helpful to you, not just in your romantic relationships, but in your important relationships. Your friend who you know it's worth going through a hard time. Your business partner. Those people who truly, truly, you know, there's been good times and they're good people and you want the best. But especially I want you to do this. If you're in a good place right now with your spouse, do this, because you'll have this on your phone and it will help you. It will save you. It will snap you out of it so quickly, because when we're in a place of feeling better than, it doesn't help either of us, right? But I just want to thank you guys for putting up with my tears and me being vulnerable. I never apologize for crying, because crying, I've learned from my dear friend Maya Behrens, is an expression of strong emotion. And crying is good. And crying helps people realize that you feel. And that's kind of a good thing. That would be weird if you didn't feel, especially if you're talking about something like love and growth and something that brings me so much happiness now. And that's all. Thank you for being here with me. This episode has been sponsored by CourageousConfidenceClub.com. It's a club that I've created specifically to help people who struggle with confidence and insecurities and social settings and just standing up for themselves, being yourself and feeling good about it. All of us could benefit from having more confidence. I'd love for you to just experience a taste of it. So please be my guest by going to shaleenjohnson.com/confidence tips. Now, if you don't feel like writing that web address down or remembering to go there later, all you have to do is, while you're listening from your phone, send me a text message. The number is 949-565-4337, and that is for U.S. residents. Then just send me the word confidence, and I will send you access to this video. This video will help you to eliminate self-doubt and just feel more confident in any situation, whether it's work or personal or just your social interactions. every one of us can benefit from having more confidence. There you'll submit your email address and I will immediately send to your inbox my latest training video where I teach you step by step how to feel more confident in just about any social setting. I think you'll find this incredibly useful, whether it's business or personal or just in your everyday interactions. Confidence is something that makes life easier. It helps you to raise more confident, self-efficient children. It allows us to speak our mind, to stand up for ourselves, to do the things that otherwise we are paralyzed by fear, and we just allow our own thoughts to stop us. By learning how to overcome self-doubt and fear of success, you can become that confident person that others are attracted to. The person you want to be, the person you deserve to be, the person you know is inside of you. So thank you for checking out my free tools by going to shaleenjohnson.com/confidence tips.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.